On Canberra Live with Leon Delaney, Money Matters with Luke Smith from Envision Financial Services.
24 to 5, and it's time to welcome to the studio once again from Envision Financial Services, Luke Smith. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You weren't planning on playing golf this weekend, were you?
Torn hamstring, got nothing. No.
Well, the rain won't bother you then.
No, it can rain all at once this weekend.
Indeed, you can stay home and watch the Raiders on TV playing the Cowboys in Townsville. I don't know what the weather's going to be like up there, but probably warmer than here.
There'll be a bit of sweating going on there, I think.
I would imagine.
The Raiders get up.
So that's they need it because if they don't win this one, they're pretty much done for the season, I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's getting nasty.
Ooh.
Yes. Today we're talking about how much money you can put into your super. And, of course, there are rules about this.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we start off with the fact that most of us have the compulsory contributions going in that our employer takes and puts into the super fund on our behalf, and we never even see the money.
Yes.
But you can put other money in as well, can't you?
That's exactly right. And I think for a bit of context, I'm finding there's still a little bit of confusion out there about what you can and can't do. So I know we've sort of touched on this earlier in the year, but I want to rehash it because it's still relatively early in the financial year and I'm not going to give
halfway through August.
Well, it's flying by, but I'd rather you know now than find out in June. So we break it into two parts. Deduction.
Yes.
No deduction.
Okay.
That's our starting point. If we want a deduction, as you just said, we get something from our employer. Great. Superannuation guarantee payment under the law. That limit this year is now $30,000. It was $25,000. It became $27,500. And from the 1st of July this year, it's 30 grand.
So your total number of contributions you can make this year is $30,000.
And claim a tax deduction.
Okay.
Correct. And that includes what you put in and what work puts in. I often get, I'll do 30 and work can do 30. No. There'll be tears. Well, I'll do 30 and they'll do nothing. Well, that can't happen. So it's $30,000 from all employment sources. So if you've got five jobs, one job, three jobs, two jobs, 30 grand, not 30 per job. I got told that the other day. I'm going to put in 100 and something thousand and I've got six jobs and it's going to be this. I was like, you can do that, but it won't end well for you. So we're claiming a deduction, $30,000 this year. We are not claiming a deduction, okay, known as a non-concessional contribution, $120,000.
Okay, so you can put more money in, you just don't get the tax deduction.
And this is what I want to try and get through to people today. There are more than one way to get money into super, but everybody leaps to, well, I've reached my 30,000, I can't do anything else. Yes, you can put in 120,000 and not claim a tax deduction. You can also say, I'd like to put in 3 years of 120 and put in 360,000 in your super fund in one go, happy days. That you can do. However, if you do that, you cannot do it again for the year that you do it and two more financial years. So you've got 3 years of contributions in one go. It means you're locked out for the year you do it and two more. And then it resets. Okay, now thinking about doing that 120, don't take this show and go, oh, I can do it. Just because the law says you can doesn't mean you are able to take advantage of it. So if you have a total super balance in excess of about 1.68 million, you cannot do 3 years in one go. If you're less than that, go your hardest. If you've got 1.8 million in super, you can only do 120. So there's a tiered limit as close as you get to 1.9 million coming down.
Right.
Okay. So that is the only anomaly on that side. You can make a deductible contribution up to age 67, whether you are working or not. Another big misconception I get is, well, I can't claim a tax deduction because I'm not working. No one cares whether you are working or not. So here's an example. I'm 60 years of age. I've retired and I sell an investment property. Because you're not working, you have $30,000 in your concessional limit available to you. If you've sold an investment property and you have a capital gains tax bill, a good accountant would be saying, hey, Leon, why don't you take some of those proceeds, put them into super and only pay 15%? Because if it's a significant capital gain, you could be paying tax at 34, 39, 49%, and putting money into super could be a much cheaper way of doing it, keeping in mind that you could then reach out to your fund and say, hey, I've retired, can I have that money out tax-free, please? So again, can I put it in? Why would I put it in? I want a deduction. There's our $30,000 limit. Now, as we've discussed in previous shows, an extension of that $30,000 limit is your ability to look back a maximum of 5 financial years and say, have I had any financial year where I haven't reached the limit of that year? And if the answer is yes, you can add up 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24 and go, oh, I haven't used $50,000. I've sold my investment property. I've got a big capital gain. I could take $50,000 of that money, put it into super as a deduction, get a $50,000 tax deduction against the gain on the property and be in a much better tax position. And you haven't worked a day of that financial year. So let's separate. Your ability to make a super contribution has nothing to do with whether it's deductible or not. It's, am I under 67? Yes. Can I claim one? Yes. Am I over 67? Yes, I am. Have you met the work test? You might be 69 years of age, love your job, or be doing a little bit of consulting, and you work 3 months of the year, and you'd love to make a big contribution. Have you worked 40 hours in a month? Yes, I have. Oh, now the deduction door is open. Go your hardest. So under 67, no need to meet a work test. Put a deduction in if it's suitable for you. Over 67, have I met the work test? Yes, I have. If you haven't, then that door is shut to you. But we can make a tax-free contribution up to 75. No work test required. So again, we need to sort of demystify, can I put it in, by starting with why am I putting it in, and then find the relevant contribution type that fits your situation.
So what are the things to consider when you're weighing up whether to make additional contributions to your super fund?
Yeah, so the first one I would start with is, why is it going in? Deduction or no deduction? Then I would think, okay, well, what else could I do? I've just sold my primary residence. So along comes Mr. Downsizer legislation. And he says, well, you can throw in $300,000. And some people say, well, I've done $300,000. I can't make a non-concessional contribution. Yes, you can. So in that example, you could put in $360,000 as a non-concessional contribution and $300,000 as a downsizer contribution, provided you meet the rules to be eligible. And you've got $660,000 tax-free in your super fund that not only comes back to you over 60 as a tax-free pension, it also then goes to your children as a tax-free benefit because of the type of contribution that you've made. So it's always about looking and saying, why am I putting the money into super? I'm trying to bolster a pension. I'm trying to maximize the tax-free component for the next generation. Am I trying to add downsizer money to a super fund because I'm moving? They would be some reasons why you would use the tax-free contribution methodology. If I want a tax deduction, then you'd be saying, do I have any room in this year's cap? Yes, I got $20,000 of superannuation guarantee from my employer, so I'll put in 10 at the end of the year. Or I've sold an asset, or I want to catch up because my employment situation's changed. I might have paid off my mortgage and now I can save like a machine, and I want to use the catch-up rules because my balance is under $500,000 and I want to maximize the tax efficiency of my salary. So there are a number of strategic considerations people should keep in mind, but don't ever leap to, oh, well, the guys at Gulf said you can't do that. Find out first, because assuming could be very, very expensive in this situation.
Well, already with what you've told me so far this afternoon, we've had a number of different rules and thresholds and yes, you can and no, you can't. It does get a little complicated pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, and I think that's why I'm just trying to sort of demystify this on a Friday afternoon, which is a bit of an oxymoron, but anyway. Yeah, the frustration for me is, well, I didn't do that. Or I saw some people this week and they'd sold a property and I said, well, did you use the catch-up rules to lower the tax? And they said, well, no, my accountant didn't say anything about it. Like that breaks my heart, because you've just paid tax for potentially no reason when you could have improved your situation. So understanding broadly what you can do and then sharpening the pencil to make the most of either the hard work you do on salary or the hard work you've done with an investment, or you're selling CBA shares at record levels because you want to take some profit to buy a boat. Great. You know, you want to sell some CBA shares and add to your Jordan collection? Cool. Am I going to pay some tax? Maybe. Okay, well, what could I do to try and negate that tax and get myself in a better position? But lumping everything into, well, I've reached my $30,000 limit, I can't do anything, that one's a big misnomer, and people are leaving opportunities on the table, which is frustrating for somebody like me.
Are there some other strategic reasons why people might want to be funneling some extra funds into their superannuation, say in the time before they've actually retired?
Yeah, so one is the catch-up rules are great, because ultimately they were made for mums, and generally speaking, mums have time out of work to raise kids and then come back and rejoin the workforce and have missed out on those contribution times. So that's a great way to get money in. Another reason that people may be making contributions before they retire could be to equalise their estate planning, or to bring down the balance of a superannuation fund to bolster somebody else's, because one spouse may have retired. Another reason that you might pull money out of super and put it into someone else's name is to maximise your Centrelink entitlements. And we've got a show on Centrelink coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks. But if you can make a withdrawal from your account and put it into a younger spouse's name, that's a great way to reduce the asset test component of your assessment where Centrelink is involved. So there are a number of strategic reasons that people can add money to super, but I find generally it's because of a third-party event. We've sold an investment property, we've downsized our home, we've sold our business. And for the self-employed people, there's also then the CGT small business concessions, which are extremely generous and will then start to incorporate that non-concessional component of that broader strategy. Because if you can get up to $1.9 million in your super fund and pay zero tax on earnings and zero tax coming out to you and zero tax on the sale of assets, as far as I'm concerned, that's happy days.
Well, it certainly sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. We'll be back with more in a moment. Well, it's about 7 minutes to five now. It's a Friday afternoon, and that means Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with us in the studio today. And our topic today, how much money can I put into my superannuation this year? That's an interesting way of putting the question, isn't it, Luke? Because this year the limits have actually increased.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And as we touched on before the ad break, making the most of those limits is important. So, you know, I think you need to think about, well, what's the new limit and check? If you've had an old school salary sacrifice arrangement in place with your employer, you might have a little bit more room to bolster that up a little bit. Or you can throw the money in at the end of the year using what's called a personal deductible contribution. So you can actually salary sacrifice and add your own money in the same year. Use the limits to your advantage. If you want to get your assessable assets down for Centrelink, withdraw super and put it into a younger spouse's name, you can do that. Or if you've sold your house, use the downsizer legislation of $300,000. You can do that each, so there's $600,000. If you sold your business, you can use the CGT small business concessions, and then with residual capital say, well, I'll put in a non-concessional contribution of $120,000 or up to $360,000. But remember, as we said, there are limits in relation to total super balance, whether you can do the full 360. So just check that, because if you're at $1.8 million, you can't make a contribution of 360. So just remember, it's not carte blanche. Talk to your accountant about using the catch-up legislations if you've sold an asset. That's really important. And then, you know, let's just make up a scenario here. Let's say your name was Steve and you were 62 and you didn't have any super. And let's say some super fell out of the sky or you won Powerball. You would have the ability to put in $360,000 of that money. And you say, well, why would I do that? That may allow you then to start a tax-free pension. You would also have 100% access to it if you are no longer working. If you are gainfully employed, you would need to quit to be able to access that. But then you could actually use the transition to retirement legislation whilst you were working at 62 and take up to 10% or $36,000 out a year as a as an income stream. So there are loads of reasons why you would do it, but I think the important thing for today is understand the limits, and there is more than just the $30,000 concessional limit. And we did say before the ad break, that is across all employers, per person. Don't think that it's 30 per job, because you'll have a very, very exciting conversation with the ATO.
Mm-hmm. Exciting may not be the word for it.
Correct.
Yeah, indeed. And because of these different rules and the complexity of the matter, I'm going to come back to my usual piece of advice. Get some expert assistance.
Yeah, look, I think when you consider what you've done to earn your money, what you've done to, and the risk you've taken to buy assets or buy shares, and you want to liquidate things and manage tax, okay, we all should pay a little bit of tax, but let's not pay any more than we need to. And taking advantage of some of these contribution options can really put you in a good position to control your retirement assets and maximise the tax efficiency of both your earnings and the way that you fund yourself in retirement. So it all ties into some peace of mind, and ultimately that's all somebody like me is here to do.
Exactly right. And so I guess that's an opportune time for me to ask, where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so office number 6260-4749. It's envisionfinancial.com.au. That's Envision with an E. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money, on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, so you can subscribe to the station or the channel and see all of the shows. We've got the entire library there. You can watch them on your phone. We've got YouTube Shorts. We've got the Strategy Stacker on the Tiki Talker. And all of these types of contribution thresholds are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, available in all good bookstores and Amazon.
Packed, absolutely full of fascinating information, which is not only fascinating but also useful.
And also now out of date.
And, well, is that right? You have to write an updated edition.
We're looking at that at the moment, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Watch this space. There will be the second edition in the bookstores before you know it.
Potentially.
Potentially, correct. Yes. That's the trouble with these things, isn't it? They very keep shifting so. The goalposts, yeah. Don't they?
Exactly.
Indeed. Right. Luke, thanks very much. We'll catch you again next Friday.
See you next week, mate.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial, back with us again at the same time next Friday, right here on 2CC.